Throughout the last year and a half since their son Eddie was fatally beaten with baseball bats, Kathy and John Pollock have been a strong presence here in Philadelphia. They attended the trial of the teenagers who were found guilty of their son's murder, counseled young people in their neighborhood, and have spoken very honestly and directly about what this murder has meant to them and their children, Christy, 20, and Billy, 15. We invited them to share some of what they have experienced. I asked John Pollock to describe the day that Eddie died.
That day is sort of like a blur. I mean, there was family that had to be notified. There were just basically funeral arrangements. Mm-hmm. We had to. This is where it was that day. Ed died around 10:30 in the morning. We got home about 12. Around 2:30, 3 o'clock, one of the neighbors came in. And they said, "Somebody has to go over to the church and see what's going on." So Christy and Bill and myself walked over to the church, and the kids in the neighborhood, the teenagers, young adults, everybody that was aware of it had gathered where Eddie was beaten, and it literally was right at the steps of the church. That's not an exaggeration, and they were covering over where he had died with flowers, and that's where the realization of what kind of tragedy could follow really struck home. So we talked with everybody for a while.
These were young people
that
had gathered. What were they saying? What did they want to talk about?
Nobody understood what had happened. And Christy and Bill were really the spokespeople. They had a real good rapport, communication with these kids. I mean, they were friends, where they knew of each other, and just in talking, they were. They knew what had to be done. I mean, we had briefly talked about it, and they started letting people know that, you know, retaliation wasn't the right thing.
And was there talk of that?
There was very little talk of that. What there was, it was a lot of questions about what do we do here, In looking back, we realized that these kids, Ed's friends, they knew the difference between right and wrong at that point. And they were looking to Chris and Bill and our family to say, do you want us to do the right thing? And so it was very easy at that point to begin that. And that's why we spent quite a bit of time that day just talking with people. Just trying to get that part of it straightened out.
To make sure that they did the right thing, which, of course, was not to exact any kind of revenge.
Correct. And they really didn't need any convincing. That's the part that is so terrific about these people, that they knew the difference between, here's Ed Pollock died because of revenge for a rumor, and they knew that it wasn't right for them to go and hurt to revenge his death.
What did you need and what did you want? I mean, as it after his death and then as this story really has unfolded, what did you need from your friends, from your family, from people in the neighborhood, even the larger community around you? John Pollock?
I think the community just filled in whatever gaps was necessary. And that goes for the community as a whole and for individual friends. Everything that was done was a help. People gave us just a whole lot of help, and also they made sure that there was no repercussions from Eddie's death. A lot of people did an awful lot of work to make sure that it wasn't repeated in reverse.
I know, too, that when people have to deal with a tragedy of this magnitude, they often look for answers, for some kind of explanation. Did you do that? Did you find answers, John Pollock?
I've never found an answer. I have no idea why this happened. It just seems like a random event that nobody could plan for and nobody planned on.
Did you look for an answer? Did you try to figure out, you know, why?
We've talked about it many times, both Kathy and myself. We went so far as to write to the Pope and say,
"Did you?"
Yeah, and say, "Do you have an answer?" And basically, they said no. They said to me, "There's, you just have to believe in God and trust," and which we do. But there doesn't really seem to be an answer.
So you really sat down and wrote a letter to the Pope? Yes.
Yes, we are. You know, I guess basically as human beings, you strive for answers to everything. And I think the thing that we came away with is there are no answers. We've seen humanity at its worst, but we've also seen the human spirit at its best in the support and the reaching out of our community, of friends, of the community of Philadelphia as a whole who have reached out, and people throughout, even the United States, we've received letters.
My guests are Kathy and John Pollock. Their son, Eddie, was killed in November 1994, beaten to death by a mob of teenagers. We'll talk some more after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to John and Kathy Pollock. Their son, Eddie Pollock, was murdered in Philadelphia in November 1994.
I think many people, again, there's so many parts of the story that people are struggling to understand, is the fury of the mob. I mean, how a mob can descend on somebody they've never met, who's never done anything to them, and do what they did to your son. To you, Kathy Pollock, do you have any understanding? You've sat through the trial. You've looked at these young men. Do you understand that in any way?
I can't even begin to comprehend such brutality or savagery. It's beyond human comprehension. I look at them. I looked at them for 5 weeks during that trial. And I found myself shaking my head every day. I just couldn't even imagine what type of human being they are to have done this and to sit there the way they did for that trial with no look of remorse, no comprehension on their part of the enormity of the situation that they had even involved themselves or their families in. It's beyond the comprehension of any rational human being.
What would remorse have looked like to you?
I think if they had, they seemed to laugh and joke among themselves, you know, before the jury would come out. They would walk through the halls as though, you know, of the criminal justice system, the ones on bail, as though they had done nothing. You know, it amazed me.
You took notes. You wanted to remember everything?
Yes.
Why?
Because to me, it was very important a week later to have the facts straight in my own mind. Because you sit and you listen, and then when you ponder it, if you forgot a little piece of it, suddenly you lost what was being talked about. And you may remember something incorrectly.
What about their parents? I mean, they sat there along with you, I assume on opposite sides of the courtroom. Did you look at them? Were you looking at them for something?
No. No, we would see each other occasionally. The one man's mother was visibly upset. I mean, she, if our paths crossed, she would avoid any kind of eye contact. The other parents, there was no interaction whatsoever.
The jury came back with a verdict of third-degree murder. You didn't want that. You wanted first-degree murder.
Yes, I did. I believe if you take someone's life, then you've deprived them and their family of their lives, basically. And you don't have a right to enjoy the liberties that are natural. You should be put away.
Did you want the death penalty? Were you interested in that at all?
No, I was not.
Why not?
I watched Eddie die. To kill someone serves no purpose. I feel that they should be put away. They can do jobs locked away. They can perform services, you know, behind bars somewhere doing some things. But to take another life would not bring Eddie back.
I thought it was interesting and really quite extraordinary what your son said. And I'm going to just read it just because for people that didn't hear this or read this in the newspaper, this was Billy,
yes.
age 15, said, and this was after the verdict, "My brother was the most forgiving person you'll ever meet, and I wouldn't be surprised if he had had a hand saying to the jury, you know, these kids are 16, make them think about what they did, but one day let them go home to their families. That was just the way that Ed was." That must be the most extraordinary thing to hear that come out of your son's mouth.
I was so devastated after the verdict came in. I could not speak. And we went outside and John did the speaking. And as we were turning to leave, we didn't realize that Bill had been separated and surrounded by the media. I turned to hear him say that. And I expected to see Ed there, and when I all I could do was hold him,
yeah.
and I felt like I was holding Ed,
yeah.
and that was Eddie. And sometimes, as a parent, it does you proud to step back and realize that your children can be better than you are, and they are, and I'm very proud of that fact, because I still wish that they would have spent the rest of their lives. But what Billy said was Eddie, and it was the Eddie that Billy knew and loved.
It's an extraordinary statement.
Yes.
I mean, to come after
yes.
not only what happened, but sit through this trial and to come to a verdict that, as you say, you are not comfortable with, you didn't want.
Yes.
But here's a 15-year-old
yes.
saying these words.
I think we both agree with him.
Yeah.
All right, Eddie was the type of kid that he really didn't hold a grudge. You know, as a parent, you end up in battles with your kids. I mean, they can be angels, but they're still the battles. And some kids pout, and some kids slam doors, and some kids, you know, walk out of the house and come back hours later. Ed's grudge lasted about 10 seconds. You'd have a disagreement, and he'd turn around and go, "All right, you win." And because that was his way. And I'm sure Bill's correct. Because we had trusted Ed to give the jury the wisdom. And we may not have agreed what they came out with, but all along we said, "Ed, you give him the intelligence to make the decision." And I guess that's what he did.
Kathy and John Pollock's son, Eddie, was killed in Philadelphia in November 1994. For Terry Gross, I'm Marty Moss-Cohen.